Dream big for what we can do here. Let's not be small thinkers. Let's take what we have, let's use it to our advantage, let's come together as a group, and let's go do it together.
Hi again, Paladin fans, and welcome to episode 49 of the All Den Podcast, your look inside the Furman University men's basketball program. I'm Dan Scott, the voice of the Paladins, and as always, in just a moment, we'll be joined by head coach Bob Ritchie. Paladins are playing pretty good basketball, did snap a two-game conference losing streak after a week-long COVID layoff with a win last time out against Western Carolina. And as we are recording this today on Wednesday, we're looking ahead to Saturday's big matchup with the Wofford Terriers inside Timmons Arena. It's going to be a fun basketball game. It'll be televised, and of course it'll be broadcast live, as always, via ESPN Upstate with Tom Van Hoy and me bringing you all the action. The podcast is brought to you by Shortfields in downtown Travelers Rest. For all the menu, the operating hours, shortfields.com is the website. Great people there. You're going to love the food. You're going to love the service. I highly recommend it. And as always, if you have any questions or comments you'd like passed along to head coach Bob Ritchie, then send them to me via email, dan.scott@furman.edu, dan.scott@furman.edu. Once again, this is episode 49 of the All Den Podcast. I'm Dan Scott, and joining us, as always, is the head coach of the Paladins, Bob Ritchie's team's coming off of a road win at Western Carolina last time out, which was, as we put it on the broadcast, it was a rescheduling of the reschedulement of the postponement of the game from earlier this year. It snapped a brief two-game conference losing streak and sets up a big matchup with Wofford at Timmons Arena coming up on Saturday. And again, we're recording this on Wednesday. How you doing, Coach?
Doing pretty good. I guess two is a streak, huh? That's the correct way to phrase that. Two
games. It's a mini streak. I guess.
I hear you.
Hiccup, bump in the road. I mean, there are a lot of different ways you can go about it, but bottom line is it's in the past, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, there's pain usually comes from losing, but there's also a lot of things you can learn from losing. And, you know, really, really proud of our team and our response and just how this group's handled themselves. And really couldn't be more proud of them. I mean, they've been through a ton, just like all student athletes have over this journey. And, you know, just to see how they've been carrying themselves daily, to see their improvement, to see how they're going about practice. You know, we've had to practice a lot more than typical just because we've lost five games in the league. And, you know, so there's just been a lot of different disruptions. And once you get to this point in the year, usually you've got game rhythm and you're just in a little bit of a flow. And, you know, they've obviously haven't been able to enjoy that. And how they've handled it, you know, and the growth that they've had through it has been pretty neat to see.
Do we understand enough, make enough of what student athletes are being asked to do? And I know we've addressed it and talked about it on this podcast in recent episodes, but the sacrifices that they have made to get to play a season, do we really give them enough credit for what they're going through?
No, but you know, it probably shouldn't be expected because the average fan really has no clue what they're going through, you know, just to be honest about it. I mean, it's really hard to explain. It's hard to describe. You know, I think that you can see it on your TV or your computer screen and you can watch games and, you know, but what they're having to do on the daily to be able to do this is, you know, it's pretty remarkable. And they're it's not easy. You know, they're having to venture away from what the typical college student athlete experience is like, you know, basically having to isolate in a lot of ways and, you know, go to class online for the most part and, you know, only see their teammates for the most part, limited time to see family. I mean, and then on top of that, all the testing and then navigating different deals with that. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's like after the Western Carolina game. I mean, usually you get on the bus and you go home and you get home and, you have a good time and you don't want to stay, we got to find a room in the arena at Western and we got to eat our post-game meal up there because we can't have food on the bus. And then you got to get on the bus and you got to mask up. And it's just, there's just so many different elements. And, you know, it's probably given all of us coaches a little bit of perspective. And, you know, it's like I said, it could be easy for a lot of people to say, hey, to heck with this. I mean, let's just wait till next year. But it's been nice to see our student athletes really try to persevere through it and A, to be responsible and safe, but B, to try to, you know, have a mentality of improvement through it has been really cool to watch.
Yeah, and we've also talked about the lessons that I think all of us are going to learn, coaches included in that, when it comes to flexibility and being able to adjust to things on the fly when you are such a routine-oriented person or routine-oriented sport. And I was actually talking to a friend of mine earlier today who pastors a church in New Brunswick, Canada, and he was talking about the fact that things are going well, even though he's not able to pastor his church the way he would like to right now, but he feels like he's learned something from this and it's going to make him better at what he does once we clear this pandemic. And I think if that's the way you approach this thing as a coach, as a player, whatever, there are going to be some benefits that come out of this down the road in the way you go about your business.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about that. I mean, I think that you know, hard times in life can do that. You know, they can give you an element of endurance and they can create some perseverance with you and allow you to navigate the next problem, you know, a little bit with a little bit more clarity and a little bit more long suffering, so to speak. And so, you know, we're going to continue to try to have an outlook of, you know, like I've said all along, how can we stay safe? How can we be responsible? But at the same time, you know, keep our head up and our shoulders back and whatever we're going through, how hard it might be, how good it might be, how fun it might be, that we have an attitude of continuing to look and say, you know, what can we get from this? What can we learn from this? And, you know, in the good and the bad. And so our team has done that. I mean, just watching how they've gone about their business, it's been neat to see, watching how some of these young guys are starting to, you know, play better and practice better. And, you know, just seeing the elevation has been a credit to our leadership. And, you know, you watch Alex Hunter at the Western Carolina game and the confidence that he played with, the leadership that he played with, and some of the big plays that he made, you know, the big shots and the play in the paint, and just, you know, playing like a senior needs to play, you know, and we could go down the line of all the different contributions. But I'm like I said, I could go on and on about how proud I am of this group. And it's much more than the wins and the losses. It's how they've gone about their daily business and how they've stayed connected through it.
Yeah, we thank Zoom for the sound effects that you're hearing in the background while some of these things are going on as we talk with head coach Bob Ritchie here on episode 49 of the All Den podcast. One of the things that has not had any light shine on it, or there's been no clarity gained, Bob, is the rescheduling of these postponed games. As of now, still up in the air for the Paladins are the postponed games with Chattanooga, with Samford, and then, of course, the one that's been lingering out there for a while with VMI. Is there anything that you can tell us about those games, or are you still kind of in the dark?
Yeah, I don't have any clarity on him yet. You know, we've obviously got the Greensboro game rescheduled for this Monday, right, which is great. But that's really the only one. You know, we got the Western Carolina game played this past week, which is good because that opens up the Monday the 15th that we would have played. And so, you know, we've obviously let the league know what our available dates are. And I'm hoping, you know, for our players that it gets worked out. You know, we've played two league games at home and we've played five on the road. And, you know, we played three in a row on the road and didn't say a word about it, just did it. And had we played the Samford game last night, that'd have been four in a row on the road. And or tonight, I'm sorry, that game got canceled tonight. But, you know, it's for us, we just want to get games in. But it's been a little bit of an imbalance between home and away games. And I'm hoping, you know, at the end of the day, as long as the games get rescheduled, then it will balance itself out. If they don't get rescheduled, then, you know, we're gonna be a little bit lopsided in our way of contest, and you know, but it's out of our control, and so it's you know, the league is gonna sort it out, and you know, the ADs are gonna sort it out. So we'll just we'll let people know when we're available to play, and you know, we'll find out what they decide. But as of right now, there's no update. So we've got a target date for the VMI game that we think, you know, could potentially work. But we haven't gotten confirmation that it's a go yet. And then the other two games, there hasn't really been much date discussion as of yet, but hopefully we'll get some clarity on that soon.
Well, one thing we do know, barring any last minute changes, you got a game Saturday and it's at Timmins Arena. It was supposed to be downtown, but it is a home game and it happens to be against that team that's just up I-85 in Spartanburg, Wofford. We'll talk about that in a minute, but let's talk about what you've done this week, because again, a situation with the postponement of Samford, you have a week between games. So how have you used the time this week as we sit here in the middle of it on Wednesday?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's really our second week. I mean, I was joking around with a college football coach about it, saying, you know, I feel like we're in college football mode right now. We play on Saturdays and we've got the whole week. You know, this is two in a row for us. Prior, it was a little bit different because, you know, we played at ETSU on that Saturday, came home, and we're supposed to play Greensboro here. And I was about to get a quick workout in, and it was like 11 o'clock. And I get the call that, you know, we've got a situation with some tests, and, you know, the game was going to get, you know, canceled. And we had to go into quarantine for a brief period. You know, what came out of it is after they confirmed the test, after three more tests, two PCRs and one antigen, showing that those were, in fact, false positives, we were able to get back to activity on that Tuesday. And so it gave us a little bit, you know, we had to take Sunday off, we had to take Monday off because of the quarantine. And then Tuesday, we got to go back to practice. And so it was a weird schedule where we basically had four activity days leading up to the game, which typically you try to avoid that as much as you can. And so, you know, we had a good practice Tuesday, we had a good practice Wednesday, choked it down to basically skill and shots on Thursday, and then did Western prep on Friday, went and played Saturday. This week, we haven't had any disruptions yet, knock on wood. And we've been able to use a typical bye week format that we would have, which would be, you know, you basically get an extra off day. And so we took Sunday off like we typically do in league play. And then, you know, had a really good practice Monday. I mean, probably one of our better practices in a long time. And, you know, very competitive, had a lot of fun, felt like we made some gains. And then had another really good one last night, and then off today. And then we'll go Thursday, Friday, and then play on Saturday. So, you know, it gives you an extra day of prep. I feel like for us, I mean, I'd rather play, you know, just to be honest with you, Dan. I think, you know, I think right now, I think that's how our team is. That's how our staff is. You know, it's February. Let's go play ball. I'd much rather be playing than practicing. You know, you look at the Clemson, North Carolina game last night. You know, Clemson hadn't been necessarily playing great, but they've been playing. And so they were able to iron out some things and shot the ball well last night. And then, you know, North Carolina hadn't played since Saturday, been off a week, you know, came out and couldn't hit shots. And, you know, I mean, it's just there's rhythm from playing. But if you're going to have practice time, you got to make sure that you still have an attitude to go out there and get better. And I think our team's done a tremendous job of that. I think our leadership and our veterans, they've made sure that we've had productive practices. And, you know, like I said, had two really good ones, Monday and Tuesday. And, you know, they'll rest up today and get some film work in and do some different things mentally, and then start to turn our attention to opponent as we get towards the end of the week.
When you say really good ones on Monday and Tuesday, because of the extra time off, do you go harder in those practices than you typically would this time of year?
Yeah, I mean it's a little bit more physical, little bit more competitive, and you know, good on good, and you know, you don't get many opportunities to do that in the season. So, you know, we wanted to try to get the same load that we had have in a game. You know, what you don't want to do is sit around all week, and so you got to try to test yourself physically because these other teams are playing, and you don't want to allow yourself to get out of shape. So, you know, getting up and down, you know, making sure you're tightening up some things offensively and defensively, but at the same time, like, how do we keep it competitive? You know, and I think both practices had an element of physicality to them. I think they were highly competitive, and you know, we were able to do a lot of skill as well. And you can see that translating the past couple of days. you know, it's probably my fault on that, in terms of, you know, you get in a season and you're managing all this stuff. And, you know, sometimes that can kind of slip a little bit. And, you know, we picked up our skill a lot back last week, more almost like preseason form, and shot 43% from three at Western, which was good to see. And we've gotten a lot of balls in the air this week too. So, you know, want to continue with that, and want to stay as sharp as we can without having an opponent. I think that's critical.
You know, there have been a number of times, and I think any good head coach is going to do this, when things don't go right, he's going to say, hey, that's on me. And you have said that a lot. But the flip side of it is, Bob, with what we're going through in this strangest of all seasons, there's no playbook that you can fall back on. There's no set of notes that you can look back on and say, the last time this happened, this is how we handled this, or we did it this way and it didn't work, so we need to do it this way. You're writing the playbook on the fly here in this basketball season.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it. I mean, we're 11-5. We got two losses in the conference, which everybody does at this point at the top. And so, you know, everything's kind of reset. And, you know, we would all like to be undefeated. I'm sure our fan base would as well. But, you know, there's been a lot more good with this group than bad. And this is a really good team. And we've got really good players. And, you know, we've got some young guys coming off the bench that are growing up right before our eyes. They're going to be really good as well. We've seen, you know, an improvement of Joe Anderson here the last few games. We've seen Garrett Hain come in and win us some games and played a lot. He had four rebounds in about 8.5 minutes at Western this past week. And, you know, Colin Kinney had a tremendous practice last night, took three charges, you know, banged four threes, you know, did some good things. Johnny Lawrence continues to make everything he throws up there. And, you know, I'm just, like I said, like, I'm not going to get caught up in the negativity of, hey, you know, well, they lost a game here, lost a game there. I mean, we went to Johnson City, shot 25% from three, you know, didn't necessarily play our best, but man, our team played hard and they competed. And, you know, it's not something we're going to hang our heads on after. We're just going to, hey, get up, square up, you know, go get better. And at the end of the day, this team's done a lot more positive than negative. And, you know, that's like you said. I mean, you got to, for me, looking over everything, I got to look at it as the whole, right? I can't get caught up as the viewer, the fan would in the pure moment of it, right? And you know, get caught up in the, you know, man, what is this? What is that? Like, we got to analyze this thing from the whole. And there's a lot more on the inside that we're a little bit more aware of, right? From the nature of it, of dealing with it every day, that we know what our guys are going through and we know what their attitudes and their approaches have been like. And, you know, you got to continue to get better. You got to play your best ball, you know, late February, early March in this thing. And, you know, this is my fourth year doing it, Dan. I've always known this, but, you know, every year it's even more, you know, it's even more apparent to me that at this level, it really comes down to 3 days. And, you know, you've got to make sure the name of the game is improvement through the wins and the losses. Mm-hmm. It's not about, you know, are you going to hang your head, or how'd you lose that one, or what about that one? Can you continue to get better? And, you know, if you can go get better, then, hey, good things are going to happen. But you look at this all over the country. I mean, Tennessee lost to Ole Miss last night. That's their, you know, what, third or fourth SEC loss. You know, I mean, you look at some of the things that other teams are having to deal with. It's, you know, at our level, sometimes it gets magnified because you got this pressure that you're supposed to go win every one of them. But, you know, I mean, Texas Tech, Oklahoma the other night, like, big time game, right? Texas Tech wins it. And it's great. Well, Texas Tech has four losses in league, right? I mean, it's just, and nobody's freaking out about it. They're going to be in the tournament, and it's fine. I mean, I'm watching Indiana, Illinois last night, and they're like, man, if Indiana can pull this out, you know, that's going to help them get in the tournament. Well, they were 4-5 when the announcer was saying that. Now they lost games, so they're 4-6. You know, so it's just a different type of feel when you're at the high major level and you get to have, hey, game to game, let's get better, let's keep building the resume, we're trying to get to 20, as opposed to the feel of, hey, you got to go win every single one of them, and then you got to go win three in a row. And I want to protect our group from that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want them feeling that, right? I want them to feel that, hey, you got to go be deliberate in how you're going to improve, and you got to do it right now. And then here's the areas that we've got to improve, and let's just go do it. Like, let's just go do the work. You know, like, it's not, nobody's down around here. I can promise you that. And nobody's freaking out in here. We know we got a really good team, and we're excited to show it, you know, in this next month.
Yeah, and, you know, and where I was actually going with the question, and maybe I just didn't phrase it the right way, but in your first 3 years, when you had a quote-unquote regular season and you had a definite pattern of play that you could follow once, especially once you got into conference play. If last year you could look back at the two previous years and say, okay, you know, this is how we handled load management, this is how we handled this, this is how we handled that in the midst of a season. The point I was trying to get at, this year you can't do that because this is a year unlike anything we've ever seen. You're writing that playbook as you go along. You can't really look back at what you did a year ago or 2 years ago and make comparisons because there's nothing to compare it with.
No, that's a good point. I mean, there's, you know, I think one of the most disheartening things we've had to do all year is tell our guys a game got moved or canceled. I mean, it's like, you know, when we lost this most recent one, I mean, the guys just, their demeanor just gets down. And, you know, we lost a game the day before we were supposed to play BMI here. Obviously, the Greensburg game was day of. You know, that's been really tough. And it just throws an immediate wrench in all your preparation, all your build up to what you're doing, your routines. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just, again, just everybody's having to go through it. And, you know, some more than others. I mean, some have been able to play all their games and, you know, get this stuff on the right track. But, you know, it's for us, we've lost five and, you know, three of them being home games. It's just out of your control and you got to make the most of it.
Episode 49 of the All Den podcast with head coach Bob Ritchie talking Furman basketball. And, you know, I always say, either before we talk with Coach Ritchie or after, sometimes both, that if you have any questions you'd like for us to pass along to the coach, I ask you to submit those to me at my email address, dan.scott@furman.edu. And Bob, we have a couple of questions that have been submitted from Steve McAllister, and I thought I would throw those at you, and we'll see how we go with that. But the first question Steve had was you know, talking about the tournament, talking about those three games you have to win to get into the NCAA if you're in a league like the Southern Conference. Well, there's a lot of speculation out there that when it all is said and done, that maybe conference tournaments won't be played this year. Have you gotten any indication from the Southern Conference that they're even considering not playing the conference tournament in Asheville?
No, I haven't heard any talk like that. You know, I think they've been sending out all the materials and, you know, really, really working hard to put a great testing protocol together. And I think our commissioner and also our deputy commissioner, Jeff Cabe, I think those guys have done a great job of just communicating, you know, how we're going to do this and what it's going to look like. And so still committed to doing it in Asheville. They've got a very rigorous testing protocol they're going to have. And, you know, it's one of those deals where we need to get a conference tournament in, and you know, we got to figure out a way to do it, you know, safely, just like we got it to in all of this, you know, venture. But I'm still optimistic. You know, I mean, I've heard all the chatter. A lot of it's at the high major level, where just like we talked about, I mean, they don't necessarily need it. You know, I mean, I think you know, just going in-state reference. I mean, I think when South Carolina made the Final Four, didn't they lose to Alabama in early round in the SEC tournament? I mean, it's not as necessary at that level. So I think a lot of the high major programs are saying, hey, you know, if I'm already locked into the tournament, why would I go into a city with a lot of different other teams and risk exposures to where I might, you know, have a risk of a positive and then have to quarantine when the real tournament starts? And I think that's where the worries come into play. And that's where some of the chatter's starting. You know, if you're at the top of the Big East, you know, do you really go to New York City for a week to play in a conference tournament? You know, I mean, I think those are questions that those guys have to decide. And, you know, but at our level, like we said, I mean, there's nothing more important, you know, so it's like, you got to figure it out. And, you know, I think our league's on top of that. I think our administrations and, you know, the conference office, I think they're working on daily to figure out how to do that well.
Steve's other question concerned the extra year of eligibility that the NCAA has given all athletes because of the pandemic. And you have two seniors on your roster, in Alex and Clay, who could all or both benefit from that if everything worked out. Have there been any conversations about bringing them back for another year? Or if not, when will those conversations take place?
No, I mean, I've talked to both of them, you know, regularly about it. And, you know, those are our seniors. And, you know, we're committed to our seniors and taking care of our seniors. And it's really important to what we do here as a program. And, you know, it's, we discussed it when it first happened. We've continued to visit it. I think they both have pro potential in them. I think that, you know, Clay has a chance, you know, I mean, Clay on his best nights, I mean, he's had what, 29, 27, 6'7" athletic, can really shoot it. You know, has a great mind, has a great feel for the game. You know, he's a guy that could go play for a while. And, you know, Alex, again, is going to be one of the all-time winningest point guards in Furman history, if not the winningest point guard all-time in Furman history. And, you know, so I think, again, you know, he's a winner. He's a hard-playing guy that can really shoot the ball, and he's as tough as it gets. And so he might have some opportunities as well. So I think part of it is, hey, A, let's focus on this season. And let's see how much of this season we get in. This was the initial conversation, right? You know, and I told them when this first came out, I said, let's use this as an insurance policy. You know, if the season doesn't go like we think, if we don't get a full season, if it gets disrupted, well, we got this in our pocket. If we do get a lot of a season in and we get a full season in and you feel like you got that last year, and then we've got opportunities that look like, hey, this is what I want to go do afterwards. If the opportunities are present, then let's explore them. But if you want to come back, you know, we're going to figure out a way to make that happen. And so I think it's, you know, it's conversations that we'll continue to have. I want to make sure those guys are in the best situation possible. And whether it be playing here for another year or playing professionally, we're going to evaluate that, you know, as we get to the close of this season and see what that looks like. But, you know, it's going to present a lot of challenges. And, you know, fortunately for us, we only have 11 scholarship players on our team right now, which turned out to be a blessing in disguise, because next year you're going to have, let's say they both stayed, you know, you're going to have 14 on the team. Okay. Cause we've signed 4 freshmen. And, by the way, JP McKees had 24 and 1.5 last night in this first game, for any fans that want to follow that. Tyrese Huey has been playing unbelievable. Watched some film on him the other day. Fans are going to absolutely love this guy. And Alex Williams, I mean, continues to be leading scorer, Moeller, shooting the heck out of it. And then James, just huge, had a big game in a tournament here recently as well. So, you know, we got these 4 freshmen. They're all 4 playing well. They're really going to be good players here. We got young guys in the program that are continuing to develop. I think you're seeing a little bit with some of, you know, I almost find it, you know, comedy that some people are questioning some of these kids. But it's one of those deals where I think you are seeing the effect of, for us being a developmental program, not having that spring and not having that summer in some of them, okay, where just didn't get the skill reps that we would typically have in those 2 periods. But we're going to get all that back, right? And so you're going to, if Alex and Clay decide to come back, you're going to have 14 players on the team, which is fine, okay, and we can manage it. But the next year, the NCAA is going to come back and say, hey, look, you know, you're back. I'm sorry, we'd have 15. The NCAA is going to come back and they're going to say, all right, you're back to 13. So however you got to figure that out, you got to figure that out. And what it mean is, you know, if everybody came back, then we just wouldn't be able to sign recruits in the following class in 2022. And that would put us at our 13. So there's a way to do it, you know, and we got to navigate it day by day. I tell you this, if they do all come back, I'm going to have to, in the off season, go get a master's or maybe a PhD in psychology and, you know, just try to figure all that out, because we're going to be loaded and we're going to have a lot of good players and it's going to be highly competitive. But, you know, I think that in some ways that's a positive. You know, you get guys in here that just compete every single day and try to be their best, and guys that really aren't afraid of that competition. And you just continue to work every day. But, you know, I want them focusing on the task at hand right now. And like I said, I want them to go do something for the first time that hadn't been done since 1980. And if they do that, then their stock is going to go up and their pro potential is going to go up. And if they can focus on doing what they have to do to get this team in the NCAA tournament, then I think they're both going to have opportunities to go play. And then we're going to have to weigh that out and see what that looks like.
When you decided you wanted to be a coach, you didn't know you were going to have to be a mathematician, a psychologist, and 3 or 4 other things, did you?
You know, it's funny. You know, back when I was an assistant at Charleston Southern, I still remember it. I've got it right behind me here, Urban's Way. It was the first book Urban wrote when he was at Florida. And he said in there, you know, and I was, it was like, this is probably 2007, 2008 when I read this. And he said, you know, I recommend to any coach right now, go, if you're going to do a GA, get the degree in psychology, you know, like this is so much mental and so much of having to figure out the mind. And then there's a business component to this as well. And so, you know, it's the schemes, the coaching, it's a lot of fun, Dan, but man, and this year in particular, I mean, it's what we've done less than even normal just because of everything else going on. But, you know, these kids are people, you know, and that's what drives me crazy about this is, you know, people just have no idea what they've been going through. And they, in some ways, they're letting, I don't know, I could go on and on about this, but they're 18 to 22 year olds, you know, and they're going through all this different stuff around them. And they're doing everything so that the fan can enjoy an experience of watching them play. And then some of the scrutiny that some of them still go through, it's really insane. But, you know, it's one of those deals where we got to continue to love on them. We got to continue to help them grow. We got to continue to show them how they can get better and how they can win at life and how they can continue to pursue other things after this. But man, it's I've had a blast, to be honest with you, Dan. Like, I don't look at this year as a negative. I don't look at this as, you know, man, this is so burdensome. You know, why are we having to do this? It's been for me. I mean, you know, I had lunch with Jalen Slauson yesterday and, you know, it was just talking about, you know, different things, right? Just how all this is going on, how all this is affecting him. Watch how he's like, look how he played at Colorado this past week, right? Like, look at the growth that we've seen in him. Look at the growth that we've seen in Mike Bothwell, you know, I mean, and this is all in the middle of all this. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, look at even the Joe Anderson of what he's, I mean, he was DNP in the Mercer game. And then now, you know, the confidence he's starting to play with. So, you know, it's been a lot, but it's also been there's also been a reward at this as well. And, you know, I think this is the time, you know, getting into February, this is when it gets really, really exciting. And our guys are really, really excited to play.
Episode 49 of the All Den podcast with head coach Bob Ritchie. As we circle back and get into wrap-up mode here, we started talking about the beginning of this week. Let's talk about the end of this week and the matchup with Wofford. That's the game that on this schedule, fans circle it. I'm sure the players look to see when that game is going to be played. Not going to have the amount of fans we'd love to have inside Timmins Arena. There will be some there, but it's going to be a game that's on television. There will not be any lack of intensity. We know that. Just give us a few thoughts about matching up with the Terriers on Saturday night.
Yeah, I guess there's going to be, what, 5,750 less fans than last year at the Well. And, you know, so that's definitely going to be a different dynamic, not having fans, but the game's the game. And we're really excited to get out there and play. Like I said, we've had a great week of practice. And, you know, our guys have really, really been locked in. And, you know, this league, every single night is going to present challenges regardless of who you play. And, you know, the fun part about the league is it's a bunch of different challenges. You know, you got different styles and you got, you know, different ways that people like to do it. And, you know, you got to go put your way up against that and see who prevails. And so we're looking forward to it, just like all the fan base, all our former players and, you know, everybody involved in this program. It's always a fun game. And so, you know, like I said, we got today off and then we got Thursday and Friday. We'll get back at it and, you know, get out here at 6 o'clock, you know, inside Timmins Arena. We all know we love playing in Timmins and should be a fun day inside Timmins Arena.
Well, we're looking forward to it. It is fun. Looking forward to having the broadcast on ESPN Upstate. We'll be on the air at 5:30 with a 6 o'clock tip and looking forward to a big victory. Get this team starting to build some momentum heading down the stretch, whatever the stretch looks like. You want to get some positive momentum rolling right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We got, you know, like I said, these games are going to come quick and they're just going to keep coming, especially as we make up more, you know, and fill some of these holes in. So, you know, it's play ball in February, right? There's not going to be a whole lot of practice time. You are what you are. And like I said, I love this group. I like what they're made up of. And, We got a lot of guys that put a lot of work into this, and they get to go out there this week and this next month and really put it on the stage. You know, we got two more national televised games coming up here soon, and you know, it's just a great opportunity. And so, got a chance here to go lace them up and continue to play and get back out there for the 17th time this year, which is, you know, sometimes when you're thinking about this in September, we wouldn't have thought we had gotten that far, but we have. And we're going to go out there and lace them up and go play ball.
3.5 weeks of regular season basketball remaining. At the beginning of this season, it looked like this was so far away, and yet here we are 3.5 weeks away from the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, like, I had games on all last night, and, you know, they're talking about resume builders and this and that, and you're like, man, it's here, you know, like, this is the fun part of all this. And so, you know, I've been telling our team this all year, like, you know, and it's pretty much proven true in a lot of these games that, you know, without fans and the energy and some of the other stuff around the game, the team that can go out there and be the most excited to play, you know, typically wins a lot of these games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's there's not as many elements. There's not as many things to, you know, spur some of that energy, and you got to go create it. And, you know, and that's I think that's going to be critical down the stretch. Who can create the energy? Who can eliminate draining the energy? And, you know, it's going back to that psychology word, right? There's going to be a lot of mental into this as we go down the stretch. And I look forward to being in it with our guys.
I hear you, and look forward to seeing how it all plays out. Bob, as always, we appreciate it.
All right, have a good one, and we'll see you Saturday.
And with that, we wrap up another edition of the All Den Podcast. Thanks to Head Coach Bob Ritchie for his time, as always, and hope you enjoyed the insight, and always do enjoy the insight you get into the Furman men's basketball program. And thanks to Steve McAllister for submitting those questions. If you'd like to have questions or would like to submit questions for Coach Bob Ritchie to answer, again, dan.scott@furman.edu. That's the way to do it. And as you seen or heard on this episode, we throw them out there, and Bob will take them on as they come in. Don't forget, the podcast is brought to you by Shortfields, and you can find out more about them at shortfields.com, the restaurant's located in downtown Travelers Rest. Don't forget, again, we're recording this on Wednesday, so on Saturday, it's Furman and Wofford, 6 o'clock at Timmons Arena. It's a televised game, NextStar's Game of the Week. Pete Yannity and Dean Keener will be doing the TV broadcast. As always, I love Pete. Pete's a great friend of mine, has been for a lot of years, but he knows what I'm going to say. Turn the sound down. Watch it. If you're not going to be in Timmons, turn the sound down. Listen to the broadcast. Technology is such that you can match them up. Tom and I will be on the air with the Pepsi pregame show coming up at 5:30 on Saturday. Listen, have yourself a great rest of your week. Be safe. And get ready to cheer the Dens on against Wofford on Saturday at Timmons Arena. Until next time, for Head Coach Bob Ritchie and everybody here at Furman and associated with Furman basketball, I'm Dan Scott saying God bless you. So long, everybody, and thank you for being All Dens.